There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, Canada. Check 1, 2. My friends, nice to see you. Good to be back. My name is Dean. As always, I'm here with my friend, the gainfully employed Lachlan Cross. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is in all of his glory. What are you wearing? What kind of shirt you got on there? You look, you're wearing some client. Hang on. You've got a little client flair going, Arden Roof Systems. You're wearing their hat close to the locker room. Yep.
These are the shirts we had made when the McRib came back.
Rock out with your McRib out.
Because the locker room was responsible for bringing the McRib back in February.
Yeah, why do you get so angry about it? You look angry that you had a role to play in bringing back the worst rib sandwich.
That show never got the credit it deserved.
All the way to the end.
Right to the end.
Anyway, nice to see you. Lots to get to today. We've got some playoff hockey. It's fucking bananas. I want to get to it. All the Canadian teams had a great night last night, which makes me happy.
You mean the other night?
Yeah, the other night. Whatever. Yeah. A couple nights ago. You know, all the Canadian teams are on a heater. Let's just say that. All the Canadian teams are on the heater. Stanley Cup playoffs. It means something up here. They're all on heaters. I don't want to get into it now. We're teeing it up, dude. What are you new to radio? Heater. We're teeing this up. Yeah, they're on heaters. They're on heaters. They all won on the same night the other night. Let's just call those heaters.
Okay.
Now, I want to get to that. Some interesting side stories coming out of Winnipeg, Toronto, Boston, Edmonton had a great night a couple nights ago as well. I mean, this is good. Vancouver, this is good. This is good. I don't want people to get crazy and let their fandom get away. Let's not get xenophobic. Let's just be really proud of the fact that Canada hasn't won a cup since 1993 because it's Justin Trudeau's fault.
No, it's Bettman's fault.
Anyway, we're going to get to that coming up in a minute. And we're going to talk a little bit about Umar Zamir. We promised we'd talk about it yesterday. Didn't get a chance to get to it because it was actually super busy. We were busy sewering mainstream media with my friend Wendy Gray, 30-year executive in the industry. That was a fucking great interview.
We didn't sewer mainstream media. I thought we were very balanced. Dean,
no, I wasn't.
I know where you stand, and I know, but it wasn't that. That's not what that interview was. That was a very, like, a legit look at where the industry is at, and I thought it was a very balanced, well approached. We didn't spend 2 hours sewering an entire industry. We did not. We didn't do that. I don't want to be.
Listen,
okay. You get your shots in.
Why are you getting so angry?
I'm not getting angry. You get your shots in because you're Dean Blundell, and everyone sort of knows that that's where you come from. But I don't want to be associated with taking shots at something that I actually do have an appreciation for. It's just being run poorly, because that's what ends up happening in this business, is that you get labeled. We talked about it with you. We talked about it before we even got on the podcast. There are still people that believe the things that came out about you and why you got fired. That's frustrating, is it not?
No, I don't care.
Yes.
I can't do anything about it.
I know you can't do anything about it, but you can make sure that the narrative is right on the front end of things. And I've been very cautious of that, because the reason I'm heated, I don't want to be the guy that hates radio because I got fired, because I don't.
Well, you're not. I didn't say you were. I said I am
running the business. That's like,
dude,
bad management. Okay, we can move on.
Let's get some decaf in us. Let's relax. I enjoy sewering mainstream media, and I went to some lengths yesterday to do it because I like it. You didn't.
No, I didn't.
You didn't. You
did. I did in my own way. I had a little sneaky little jabs. Little,
yes,
this is why they all suck. Oh, the fucking losers that run that industry. Like it is. It's Loserville, right? And I believe that to be true. You don't because you still have an appreciation or some type of desire to hang on. Let me finish. Because
we also had somebody else on.
Hang on. Let me finish. So, well, we have Wendy Gray on yesterday to talk about why she chose to leave with extreme PTSD, that industry that treats poorly people very poorly, which it does.
Yeah, it does.
Which we did talk about yesterday. To me, that's a good old dressing down of an industry.
Okay.
And they deserved it.
We didn't spend 2 hours suing an entire industry.
I would like to. If we can't, if we didn't, then I didn't go hard enough.
No. And I'm also protecting Wendy because Wendy did not. She also had some very constructive comments and very smart opinions about where that business is right now and why it's in trouble. I think we did it. The reason why I'm upset about your comment is because
you are upset. Like 10 minutes ago, you said you weren't upset.
Okay, I am upset. I was trying to lie to get onto the next topic. The reason why I'm upset is because I was really proud of what we did yesterday.
I was too. I didn't say that's all we did.
Okay. All right.
Well, it was incredibly bright.
We spent 2 hours diminishing that business.
Mainstream media.
To me, diminishes what we did yesterday.
Well, we also spent 2 hours in some of that diminishing, some of what I would call sewering. We also spent time talking constructively about the industry and what it needs to do for people and, you know, the advantage of doing your own content and becoming your own boss and what that industry has done to human beings and what human beings can do to take that capability of content creation back into their own hands, right? So it was a little bit of everything. You don't need to get so crazy.
No, I want people to listen to that with an open mind. Not go to it going, oh, Dean's just spent 2 hours shitting all over an industry. I'm going to listen to that. That's not what that was. I don't want to get repetitive here. I thought what we did yesterday was unbelievable. I think everybody in the entire radio industry, including the people that are ruining it right now, should be watching that podcast. Yeah. Right?
And they will. And here's the thing. So this is the difference between you and I. I like a little showbiz. I like a little soft hat tap dancing. So what I'm doing is I'm adding a little clickbait
conversation.
Sometimes
take the fucking shoes off.
Sometimes I'm adding a little clickbait conversation to what we're doing where it's like we took down a whole network. And you can hate it all you want.
I hate it.
But as we get to know each other, I have to have the ability to A, finish a sentence, and B, make a statement in my own defense without you fucking losing your mind.
All right. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I'm sorry.
I still love you.
We did not spend an entire 2 hours sewering an industry. We had an unbelievable conversation.
People should go download it. That's what you're saying. So you know what we're doing right now? Showbiz. We disagree. People are like, they're fighting. And then they'll be like, oh my God, I need to go listen to this contentious episode of content where two guys are interviewing a 30-year radio executive.
And where's Dean your says fucking glasses?
Down an industry.
That's what's annoying me.
Stop. You get annoyed by everything because you drink too much. And you need to go on this yoga retreat next week and chill the fuck out is what you need to do. And I hope you do. But if you don't, this is fun too. It's found content for me.
All right. We really need a separation on the whiteness of your head. We really do. All right.
You know what I did today? Let's change the tone here, my friend.
Okay.
You know what I did this morning? I got back into my oatmeal routine. And I'm going to give every man over the age of 35 a life hack. Okay. Protein, carbs, roughage. First thing in the morning. I don't eat till 11, but I had to eat early today because I knew I was busy. So just before 10:30. See this guy? What has two thumbs and had peanut butter and jam oatmeal? This guy. And you know what happens after if I eat that every day for like 2-3 weeks? Cables. I am a Pez dispenser of feces. And every man and every woman of the age of 35, peanut butter, jam, steel cut oatmeal, some water, fellows, ladies, people with anuses.
You put that on the top?
Yeah, and then you mix that shit in, dog. It's so good. Better than a McRib. And you feel like you're having this, and I'm old, right? So I got bad teeth. So it's like super soft. I don't have to crunch anything. No, I'm joking around about that. I do have bad teeth, though, because I am British. That's a whole other fucking story. I got to get these jibs fixed. And as I'm eating this oatmeal this morning, I literally stopped and looked at it, and I went, I need to tell people about this, about peanut butter and jam oatmeal.
So you how do you make the oatmeal? Do you do it like water. Old school on the stove?
No. Microwave, steel cut, 3 minutes, boom,
so
take it out.
So it's a package?
Not even a package. I get the big fucking tube, and then you put it in the bowl, and then you heat that shit up for like 3 minutes, and then you go peanut butter, then you go jam, and then about 7 to 12 hours later.
You don't put any milk or anything in it?
Yeah, a little water. I use water, no milk. You got to go water. Milk is just extra shit you don't need, right? You're already going to put some protein and a bunch of sugar in there. You don't need lactose. Lactose this.
Okay.
Dude, you got to try it. You like peanut butter, right?
I don't know if I would like peanut butter. I can wrap my head around the peanut butter. I don't know if I can put the jam in it.
You have to. Have you had peanut butter and bacon before? Have you had a peanut butter and jam sandwich?
I've had a peanut butter and jam sandwich.
Don't you fucking love it?
Yes, but I don't know if I want that in my oatmeal. This is not a slam dunk for me. The jam, I don't know. I can't be alone here. The jam is a step too far for some reason.
It's not a step too far. You can go with marmalade.
Oh, no, I'm out. We're out.
Now, I know you're out.
Marmalade.
You can go with raspberry. Don't do strawberry. Too many chunks. Go with a raspberry, maybe even a blueberry. That's a nice little taster, too. And then you jam it in there with a nice big dollop of peanut butter, and you fucking mix that stuff up, and then you sit down, and you look at it, and it's just got this swirl to it. It looks like a fucking Lunchable that someone put in a blender, and then you nom, nom, nom. And then, no word of a lie, you're pooping out of the eye of a needle, dude. And you do this for 2-3 weeks, your cholesterol goes down. You know what my fucking my heart rate is? 112 over 69 now because of that stuff. Gentlemen, ladies, gentlemen, you want to deal with your cholesterol? You want to poop like a racehorse or a wolf? Wolves poop a lot. Coyotes, pick an animal that poops. If you want to poop well,
rabbits,
peanut butter, jam, oatmeal. On the food tip, I'm not done there either.
I might try this.
Try it.
Jam oatmeal. Okay.
There is no better deal on chicken than Costco. We've talked about Costco before, right? They suck you in with the $7 chicken, and they fuck you over with the $300 crescent wrench set. That's what they do. You go in there for a $7 chicken, you walk out with 4 new tires. That's what happens at Costco. I take my Costco chicken hot dog very seriously. Okay. A lot of people do. Now, you just stay with me here. It's been something I've been up all. You get a chicken $6.99. You can still do it. They take a loss on these chickens. The best rotisserie chicken you can get. I thought I was a fan until I met this gentleman who appeared in my timeline today on Twitter. And I'm like, what the fuck?
I saw this.
And I love
never find the chickens. They're never there when I'm there. Well, they're always not sold out.
Oh, you know why? Because
they're stamp on pumpkin pie.
I hate pumpkin pie, but that pumpkin pie I eat every time I go there too. It's like $5.99. You get a massive pumpkin pie.
It's another one. You got to fight in the aisles.
I love that. It's the last pumpkin pie.
It is a different adventure when you're going to Costco in Alberta.
Yeah.
And you're doing the bargain side of things. It's a different battle
gets physical. Well, the thing I like about Alberta Costco is they got Costco liquor in Alberta. They don't have that out here.
That's
they won't let Costco sell booze because we're still under prohibition rules where you can only get alcohol at like one of two places. We're like, we don't trust Ontarians. I'm like, okay. Anyway, I want you to watch this gentleman. Very fucking serious about the chicken. So serious, in fact, he doesn't want LED lights touching the 5 slow roasted rotisserie chicken. So what he did was
he bought 5. How do you eat? Aren't you supposed to eat them right away?
He's hungry. I don't know. He's got a family that loves chicken. He's got like, maybe he's Catholic. He's got like 12 kids at home. But I want you to watch, because this guy likes he plans. This guy's a planner too. He got the barcode for the chickens printed on a shirt,
so that they didn't have to lift the chickens. Yeah. Okay, let's see the video.
I know who I am. I don't want any trouble. I got 5 chickens. I don't want any LED on them. None. Scan my shirt 5 times, buddy. 5 times.
You need the Costco card.
That's a regular credit card.
I need the Costco card.
Okay, hold on. I got one.
I don't know.
Here you go. I don't want to charge it on this card.
Very specific. There's the chickens.
I think he's a TikTok.
Scan it.
I did.
Okay. Done.
Now, I looked into it. There are people out there that truly do believe Locke. This is the truth, that the LED light damages the chicken. It's conspiracy theory shit, right? So okay. What I find interesting about that, if that is indeed the case with Mr. Chicken, Mr. Costco Chicken, what I find really fascinating about that gentleman is that he's afraid the LED light is going to give his chicken cancer and it's going to give him cancer as well. However, he will put the barcode right over his heart and have him scan it like fucking 5 times. Still, I love his game. I love his enthusiasm for the Costco chicken. I love Costco chicken like everybody else. Almost as much as the $1.50 hot dog and fountain drink. But my God, that guy takes that shit seriously. What's that? What are you saying?
I never get them. I never see them.
What time are you going? You go there at like noon, 1 o'clock. You can grab yourself one of 4,000 rotisserie chickens for $6.99.
I don't know where they must be back by the meat department, right? Where all the Costcos are the same. I never see them.
Life hack. I'm just a strong move for anybody out there looking for a quick dinner. Costco
were
chicken.
Were you following the guy in Philadelphia that was doing... He was going to eat a chicken a day for an entire month. And this was a couple years ago. Anyway,
like a whole chicken a day?
Yeah. And he started out, and I don't think there was as much of a crowd. By the end of the month, there was like 500 people out cheering him. Like, he came in like it was a wrestling event every time and had a table. He was doing it in a park.
Yeah. I got it here. This is a great story. Philadelphia server Alexander Tominski, aka Rotisserie Chicken Guy, captivated the internet in 2022. Yeah. His mission was to eat an entire rotisserie chicken every day for 40 days. 6 weeks ago, the 31-year-old Philly steakhouse server, 400 followers on Twitter, he finished with a monumental 40,000. Hundreds of thousands of people liked and shared images of him, onlookers cheering on every bite as he finished his last chicken. 40 consecutive days eating an entire roastery chicken. And there he is, to your point. And he's got this giant fucking hand in the air. He looks like $1 million. Oh, he's got an empty plate. And he's like, yeah, I did it. I ate 40 chickens in 40 days. I'm a man. I like that.
Well, and it was like, the funny thing is how the crowd was reacting to it. Did you find the video?
No, but I've got a still shot of the video. This is in 2022. Yeah, it was 2 years ago. It's 2022. This dude, Alexander.
I just thought of it. Yeah, just fucking that stupid Costco guy.
Oh, he's not stupid. He's very serious about his Costco chicken, dude. He's just stupid that he let him scan his heart. There you go. There he is. Eating the fucking chicken.
Right. Well, and I remember we played that video on the show on the locker room, and I was laughing so hard. It was so funny. Just that we get so excited about the stupidest shit. Look at everybody out there with their phones recording this guy.
Right.
You know what it is? It's the commitment. It's the buy-in for me.
Right? Yeah, the commitment to doing something ridiculous, something like, okay, anybody can eat an entire chicken in one day, but can you do it for 40 days? And you get kind of roped into it. And I love those continuation campaigns that they do where they're like, here I go again. You got to eat this chicken. And if you've had the rotisserie chicken, like rotisserie chicken is lovely, wonderful, delicious. It's so salty. It's not good. It's not good.
No, it's not good for your. No, that guy probably. Well, the guy. Did you ever watch that Super Size Me? I think it was called.
Yeah. Morgan Spurlock was his name, and he ate McDonald's every day for 30 days. And if they had to supersize, if he asked, the rule was, if they say, "Would you supersize it?" He supersize it. Yeah.
And didn't he almost die?
Yeah. He was like on day 26, right? He'd gained like 30 pounds in 25 days. So day 26 goes into the doctor, and he's like, "I don't feel good." He goes, "Jesus Christ, your liver is shutting down, dude." And your kidneys are not functioning properly. Guy's like, "How many more days do you have for this?" "Five." He's like, "You're going to die. You should just stop eating McDonald's." All you
pull the pin.
He told him, he's like, "You got to pull the pin." He said, "No, I'm going to do it." And he's vegan before that. And his girlfriend was this vegan hippie with armpit hair that fed him falafel all the time. And she was mortified to the point where she left him.
Forced him to it.
Yeah. She was mortified to the point where she left him after that. She's like, "You're disgusting." And he was like, "I don't even know if I can go back to eating regular food. This is actually delicious. I think I'm addicted.
Yeah. When I try, I have an addictive personality. But when I drive by a McDonald's, I'm like, I could, and I don't, I never do, but I could go, like, if I just let myself do it, I'd be in there every time I drove by one.
Dude, this is the only place I'd eat. A couple weeks ago, I was starving, morning, coming back from a meeting. I'm like, fuck, I need to eat something. I had the shakes. I'm like, I'm going to get the chicken McMuffin.
Oh, so good with that fat guy dip on it. It's
Jesus. It's unfair good.
Yeah.
You can't and not you eat
know
it.
You're putting it in your face hole, and you know it's not good for you. Right?
An hour later, I'm like, I'm not motivated to do anything. I didn't feel good. I just wanted to eat more. I wanted to go back. I don't know what they put in it. It makes you crave it.
I must have had 15 of these when they came out.
Oh, dude, they were so fucking good. Egg, cheese. Look out.
No, the McRib. When the McRib came out, I must have had 15 of them.
Yeah, but you're weird. You like weird food. You like your loose meat sandwiches.
We've
covered this.
I do. We have touched on that.
Yeah. Congrats, right. By the way.
Moving on to hockey.
Yeah, we have to. NHL playoffs. Canadian teams are a wagon right now. Jets win the other night. Now, I'm only starting in Winnipeg because everybody in the hockey world gets angry when someone in Toronto starts with Toronto because they believe we've got this contractual obligation to talk about the Leafs, who did win last night. We'll get to that in just a second. Vancouver won the other night. At it again tonight. They're up 1-0. Winnipeg in a fucking track meet with the Avalanche the other day, 7-6. I don't know if you watched that game.
I was surprised by that game because most games like that, I would have, like, if you would have told me this is going to be a runaway.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to just, first off, both have pretty decent goaltending. But if you would have told me that game, like, predict that game, but there's going to be lots of scoring. Who's going to win? I would have gone with Colorado like 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah, dude, it was unbelievable. Yeah. They're up 5-3. Colorado comes back, ends up 7-6. And, you know, I've watched almost every NHL team play at least one playoff game in Canada. Watched the Canucks game. Yeah. The barn was crazy. They haven't been in the playoffs in a long time. This is a big surprise year for them to win the Pacific Division. Rick Tocchet's going to win the Jacket.
Rick Tocchet.
Everything going the right way in Vancouver. So everybody in Vancouver's happy after they won game one the other night against Nashville. Everybody flooded the streets like they just won the Stanley Cup. So they're having a moment. It's kind of nice. It's not nice and cute. That's what Toronto did last year. We had a little bit of success. And then you move over to Edmonton. Edmonton fills it up last night or the other night. You've got Zach Hyman with a hat trick. His hijinks continue.
Guess how many hats were on the ice?
1,000? 2,000?
1,000. 131 hats got thrown on the ice.
What does that mean? What's the significance of that?
I don't know. It just seems like a big number.
Yeah, it's a lot of hats.
Over 1,000 people threw their hats on the ice, and it took them like 5 minutes to clean up.
You know who's really upset by that? That Andrew Berkshire dude who said Zach Hyman's only good because his parents are rich.
Man, I'm a huge fan of Zach Hyman. He is such a good player.
Yeah, he is. He's unbelievable. And a good human being, too. Like, he's just a great citizen.
Put on a jersey, so I don't know if I'd be able to get it. Like, I don't know if I want to walk around with a Hyman jersey, right?
I just got to change the E to an A. You're good. Or the A to an E, and you're fine. Then everybody gets it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. My point is this. Edmonton wins the other night. What was it, 7-4, 7-3? Great game. So they're up 1-0. Winnipeg's up 1-0 on Colorado. They're a fucking great team. Toronto takes a big step yesterday, and I got to give the Maple Leafs credit because you just get pounded in game one. 2 days later, you come back minus Mitch Marner. Something's wrong with him still. Minus William Nylander. You're out two of your best players, and you fill it up. You win 3-2. Auston Matthews put that team on his fucking back. But back to Winnipeg for the most impressive part. They win 3-2, series tied at one, coming back here Wednesday. Back to the most impressive part of the entire hockey, it's Winnipeg. And it's not the team, it's the fucking people. Like, we've got Maple Leaf Square. Oilers have, well, I don't know, what do you call it in front of the Oiler Nation Square?
What? Yeah, yeah.
Ford. Yeah, thing.
The Ford thing.
When the entire city of Winnipeg is downtown around MTS Arena. The entire fucking city. What is it, 700,000 people live in Winnipeg? Am I around right?
Is that correct? It's a little higher than that. It is less than a mil, though.
Okay, so 900,000 people. Seven, like, 300,000 people in the streets, dude. It was insane.
Yeah.
It was insane.
When I was there, it was like 750 or something, so it's probably closer to 8. Mind you. Does that population grow?
No, I think it's a negative population, but people still love the team.
Might be static.
No, down a little bit. The birth people are coming death in rate, from sort Borden. Of. Yeah. But I want you to watch this, so... I want to go to Winnipeg just to experience the goal celebrate, just to experience the energy in that fucking building. Let's watch this together. This is one of their seven goals, puts them up 6-3, I think, at one point. But just watch and listen. Full towel whiteout. Everybody's losing their shit. Look at that fucking place. I get goosebumps. You don't get this anywhere else in the NHL. Nowhere else. I don't know what they do in Edmonton. It's not as white. I don't know what they do in Vancouver. People are hippies, and they're probably, most of them are fucking high for games. But in Winnipeg, it is like blinders on. It is go time. This is our time on the international stage. And people fucking love that.
I will say
team.
That watching the games, even like I'm watching all the playoff games.
Yeah, right? Me too.
Not all of them, but I've got it on at night. And I'm impressed with how Canada is reacting, not just in Winnipeg, but also in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so torn because I shouldn't get so much joy out of the pain and misery of Leaf fans. I do. Because I am kind of cheering for the team, and Matthews was just ridiculous the other night, and like you said, he put the team on his back. But I mean, outside of that building where they have that square, that's insane, man. And in Edmonton, we have a similar situation. Man, there was more people outside Rogers' place watching the game on the big screen than there was in the damn building. Yeah. I do have something I got to show you. This is, and I love this because this is in Edmonton. Okay. And this is an example of the type of trolling that goes on. Now, a friend of mine told me about this, and I said, when you're out for a walk with the dog, send me some pictures. So I got these last night from him. This is a picture he took, and he sent to a buddy of his, so it was in his phone. And this is the regular situation for this neighborhood, his neighborhood. And these two homes, okay? So this guy here on the left is a Flames fan, right? Uh-huh. This guy on the right.
The Flames flag on the side of his garage. Everybody's got a little garage flag out there. I get it.
This is in Alberta. That's an Oilers fan, okay? And I'm guessing this guy is legit a Flames fan. And then, you know what? It doesn't matter who put it up first, but probably the Oilers, right? And this is like a month ago, okay? And the Flames aren't even, they don't even have a chance of winning. He's still got his Flames fan up, like flag up. You got to give him some, he's got some cojones. He's got to give him credit for that.
He's not even in the playoffs. I mean, the team's not in the playoffs, but he's still repping the brand. It's full respect. Yeah.
So the reason why this is significant is because my buddy says to me, he goes, the Flames guy did something pretty funny at the start of the playoffs. Here's the picture from yesterday. The start of the playoffs, he put a Jets flag up.
Because he didn't have a fucking horse in the race. That's why, right?
It's so, like, and he just, and the only reason he did it, he probably doesn't even talk to this guy. The only reason he put that Jets flag up is probably to piss off this Oilers fan.
So he went out and bought another flag just to do it. And listen, we're in flag season. Everybody loves a nice flag, right? You got the fuck Trudeau flags. That is the story came out yesterday too, by the way. I don't know if you saw this. Catholic schools in the GTA plan in the month of May flying a pro-life flag with two little baby feet imprints that look like blood.
Oh, yeah. Are they?
Yeah, oh, for sure, because Catholics are a fucking joke, and the Catholic school system everywhere is a joke that takes tax money and tries to continue to propagandize people and tell them, hey, listen, the residential schools weren't that bad.
Like, that's all they do in these fucking schools. My kids go to a Catholic school, and they go to the Catholic school, or my youngest son, he's going to graduate from one, has for a long time. So I dropped this on him this morning. I'm like, hey, I heard you guys are going to be, and it's happening. It's flag season. Everybody say it with a flag. Be an asshole with a flag. And by the way, that guy with the Jets flag and the Flames flag, that's a pure asshole move, and I love it. I absolutely love it. But sometimes
he's for it.
Oh, me too. I think it's brilliant.
And I'm an Oilers fan, but I know he probably knows that it drives his neighbor crazy. But
the amount of money we've wasted on telling people we're total pieces of shit with flags over the past like 3 years is just astronomical. Like, it makes zero sense to me. Like the Catholic Church thing, I'm like, fuck, awesome. Spend all our tax money making, you know, bloody baby feet flags so that you have to fly them in front of the school for the next little bit, because you just can't have women having body autonomy if you're Catholic. It's just not right. Can't do it. And that's how we do it. You say, I hate Justin Trudeau with a flag. You put it on a hockey stick, put it on the back of your Dodge Ram.
I saw a truck the other day, Dean, and I literally had my phone and I was running down the street to take a picture. I'm like, I got to send this to Dean. I didn't get a good enough picture. Yeah. And I'm not exaggerating. It was a Dodge Ram truck with the wheel wells. So it was probably like a 250 or whatever the numbers are. I don't know.
Was it a dually? Was it one of them dualies?
It was a dually. Wheels?
Okay. Yeah, dually. Yeah.
So I think Rams make this 250s, and it was like, it had the pipes off the back. So it was making a bit of noise. And I look out of the corner of my eye, I saw it. It was already about a half a block away. It had, no word of a lie, 25 flags on it. And they were all F Trudeau. Every single one.
Guys,
I think the guy's truck's worth one Canadian flag.
The guy's truck, and it's upside down, probably. The guy's truck is worth 10 grand. He's got 12 grand worth of flags on his fucking truck.
I was walking with my wife and I said, oh my God, look at that. And I start running to take a picture of it, and I was too far away.
I walked through this again. There's one special Saturday a couple of weeks ago, where you had like a Gaza protest, you know, the pro-terrorist assholes.
Yeah.
You had a Gaza protest, and it was going this way. Right, it was going this way. And the fuck Trudeau protest stopped to watch the Gaza protest go that way. And there's like, a couple hundred people in the Gaza protest full of flags, right? Full of the fucking terrorist flags and all the other bullshit that they do. And then on the other side, you had the fuck Trudeau crowd full of flags, and I started laughing out loud, and this woman gave me the finger with a fuck Trudeau flag. I'm like, you're just a bunch of flag babies. That's all you do. Like, you can't say it with your words because you're too stupid. Both of them, if you can't say it with your words, you get a flag. And if someone has a flag and they're walking around telling people how they feel with a flag, I'll tell you why they do it, and let me explain it to you. Oilers and Flames and Jets guys precluded. You're not included in this. You're just being dicks to each other, and I dig it.
It's like a
neighbor war. But if you're one of those flag people, and you see those flag people, and you go, what is their problem? Here's their problem. They cannot finish sentences. They cannot formulate thoughts that actually come into cogent anything. So they say it with flags, and they drive around angry, and they hope someone understands them, and they might meet someone at a Tim Hortons who might also have a flag, and they can be flag buddies who have this unspoken language because nobody knows how to communicate because they're too fucking dumb. Anyway, that's how I feel.
I've told this story before, and I had to take it off because I think my humor was lost. Like, okay, I've done two things to my car in the last 5-10 years.
Tell me, you did a shocker decal. You did the shocker decal, didn't you?
No. One was I put truck nuts on my Subaru.
Well, that's funny.
And I thought that was funny, right?
It's mocking the truck nuts if you put truck nuts on a Subaru.
Yeah. If you put it on a Subaru. And then this guy came in, he had some F. Trudeau stuff. Right. Like he had hats. I got one of the hats. You'll see me every once in a while. Whenever we have a political guest on, I'll wear my F. Trudeau hat. But he also had stickers and mouse pads and coffee cups.
Yeah.
And he was selling this stuff and he was making it himself in his basement. But he had the decals. He had the F. Trudeau decals that you could put on your back windows. So I thought I was being funny. I put that thing and it covered the entire back window of my Subaru and I slapped that thing on. But the problem was not one person rolled up to me and laughed.
No,
I got the double
go,
thumbs
brother.
Up and the honks. And so the response I thought I would get, which was like, that guy's got his full back window is an F. Trudeau sticker on it, like the cover that you peel off, and
I get, like, I remember when those fuck Trudeau flags and stickers first came out, I'm like, oh yeah, I mean, it's not the first time I've seen a I don't like that politician or I don't like that political party
bumper sticker that someone chose to ruin their vehicle with. Not the first time
it's seen new highs though. Yeah,
yes, Canada has really taken the whole bumper sticker flag political statement, because it's not just about politics anymore. It's about anti-gay movement. It's about the parental rights movement.
Yeah.
It's about Diagonal. It's about this. It's about that.
The tax.
You got a fucking people that don't like certain taxes. They got an axe the tax flag. I saw one of those driving down the 407 the other day. No word of a lie. An axe the tax flag driving down the 407. And the funny part of that is the person was paying taxes to the Spanish and Canadian government by using the 407 screaming tax. So whatevs, right? Say it with a flag. Yeah. I want to move on to our last subject of the day, because it's actually fairly significant story, significant issue. I recorded a bedhead presser about it yesterday that went viral, and it had nothing to do with me and everything to do with the gentleman. Umar Zamir is his name. If you've been following this story here in the city of Toronto, was acquitted of first-degree murder, second-degree murder, and manslaughter in the death and very unfortunate death of a Toronto Police Services officer. His name's Constable James Northrup. This happened about 3 years ago. I'll give you the short story, okay? And this is all factual, okay? And then we're going to get to some other facts. Not here to sewer the police services. I'm a huge proponent of great policing. I've done tons of work in fundraising for York Regional Police Services. I've got friends that are cops with the OPP. I've got friends who serve with Toronto Police Services. I've got my son's friend just joined the Toronto Police Service. So listen, this is not about the Toronto Police Service. This is not about shitting on cops. This will be about police culture, and it'll be about due process. And it's going to be about racism. And it's going to be about incompetence in policing. That's what I want to talk about. So Umar Zamir, new to Canada. Gentleman goes to a Canada Day celebration. A couple years.
He was here for a couple
Don't have
years.
Exactly. Okay. Here for a couple years. Okay. Takes his wife, who's a couple months pregnant, and his two-year-old downtown Toronto to enjoy Canada Day fireworks in his new country, right? He comes over from the Middle East.
Yep.
And he's taking part in what is this country? So he goes and does his thing, fireworks, Ashbridges Bay, I think, I don't know, he's fucking, you know, doing what people do on Canada Day. He comes back to where his car is in a parking garage. Now, interesting, this parking garage is attached to a building where there was a recent stabbing. So Toronto Police Service send a bunch of cops down there to go investigate, right? Go and look. It's just happened. It's all hot. So while that's going on, Mr. Zamir gets his family into his car, pregnant wife, two-year-old in the back, and he starts to back out of his parking spot. Out of nowhere comes an unmarked police van or vehicle.
Yeah.
And two police officers pop out. According to every piece of evidence in this case, which we're going to get to in just a second, these two police officers rushed this gentleman's car, may or may not have pulled out their guns, started banging on the windows, telling him to get the fuck out of the car. We've all seen it, right? We've all seen it when you've seen a cop get a perp. Like, this is just process. Did not identify. They are in plain, hang on. They are in plain clothes. That's very important. Unmarked car, plain clothes, no identification that they were police officers investigating the crime.
In the testimony, now they, like, I'm just saying what I read and what I heard. They did attempt to try to identify themselves as police officers, according to testimony
from three police officers who are now on the hook for perjury. And I'll get to that in just a second. So great point. As Mr. Zamir is being what he thinks is attacked by men.
Carjacking, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe. He panics and backs up. In that process, he backs up, knocks down Constable James Northrup, killing him in the process. Mm-hmm. And then he takes off because he's like, I got my wife in the car. She's pregnant. I got my two-year-old in the back. I have no idea what's happening, and I am fucking petrified. We have all been there. We've all been there. We've all been in a car where someone's rushing towards us, and we're like, I got to get out of here. And
yeah.
Boom, you don't know what's going on. You might know what's going on, but there's a panic. He gets arrested for first-degree murder. Constable James Northrup. This is in 2021.
That's what I don't.
He is charged with first-degree murder. I cannot speak to how he was arrested, but when usually people get arrested for that are from a different country, they fall down the stairs. Cannot speak to whether or not that happened. He then gets granted bail in his case. That's when Doug Ford puts out a tweet, premier of this province, basically saying, fuck that, first-degree murder, guy stays in jail. John Tory, then conservative mayor of the city of Toronto, who got busted for banging his assistant and had to quit a couple of years ago. Fuck that. That guy deserves to rot in jail. I'm paraphrasing. A bunch of police union guys. Can't believe he got granted bail. Justin Trudeau's fucking Canada, just releasing criminals. Trial just finished up. Mr. Zamir was found not guilty of all of it. All of it. Not only not guilty of first-degree murder, not guilty of second-degree murder, not guilty of manslaughter, not his fault. They put all the blame on Toronto Police Services and the two officers, including the one poor gentleman who lost his life.
They're going to sue. My goodness.
It's bigger than that. And I want to read something to you. This is very fucking important. And it's important for people like us who feel like, meh, throw him in jail. Meh, who gives a shit? Meh. It's important for people who don't give a shit about due process. And I would be one of those people.
I'll take it one step further. I'm surprised. When I saw what you had put out, Dean, I went and did some more reading.
Yeah.
No one's really getting into the nuts and bolts of this case.
No.
No one's really digging into what this is.
They're afraid. They're afraid.
Right?
They're afraid of speaking out against Toronto Police Service. They're afraid of speaking out against the Crown attorneys in this case, Crown attorneys in this country and in this province. Some have dirty robes. Some don't. Some judges have dirty badges. Some don't. Some lawyers have dirty suits. Some don't. But in this case, it is fucking egregious to the point where the judge in the case offered a rare apology, which has never happened before, saying, quote, my deepest apologies.
I did see that.
let's get to some of this stuff. And I'm just going to read to you from CTV so people aren't going out there like, you know what you're talking about. No. I vetted this. I put it through my lawyer. That's why I did the bedhead presser yesterday that kind of encapsulated what happened to this man, Umar Zamir, who for the last 3 years has been underneath it, wondering if he's going to go to jail for the rest of his life. But let's get to the perjury part. After a jury acquitted Zamir of the first-degree murder charge he faced in connection with the death of Toronto Police Constable Jeffrey Northrup, Justice Anne Molloy offered the 34-year-old an apology for his troubles. Listen to this. Mr. Zamir, you are free to go, sir. You have my deepest apologies for what you've been through. Here are the details. Northrup died on July 2nd, 2021, after being struck by Zamir's BMW in the parking lot underneath Toronto's Nathan Phillips Square. Officer had rushed the vehicle alongside his partner, Lisa Forbes, both in plain clothes while investigating a stabbing that had taken place nearby. Zamir, with his pregnant wife and son at the time, has always maintained he did not know people approaching his BMW were police officers. He attempted to escape the confrontation, first reversing his BMW, striking Northrup before driving forward and fleeing the scene, according to evidence presented in court. At trial, prosecutors alleged Crown prosecutors working with certain police officers, that needs to be said, alleged Zamir knew Northrup was a police officer, and then he drove directly at the man. Northrup was 300 pounds, 6 foot three. He was huge and visible, Crown Counsel Karen Simone told the court. This is a lawyer who is not telling the truth now. The defense case, on the other hand, presented a very different version of events, one that was borne out by all the evidence, I may add. Zamir had gone downtown that day for a regular family day outing, accompanied by his pregnant wife and small child, feared for his life when he saw three individuals run at him, acted out of fear. They argued. We all get that, right? Right. Zamir had no criminal record, and even if he had known the individuals were police, he would have no reason to flee, his lawyer suggested. The defense also alleged that officers who testified during the trial repeatedly lied under oath. Lawyer Hadar Nassan told the court three officers who witnessed the incident, including Forbes, lied in the witness box, stating Northrup was standing in the middle of the laneway in front of Zamir's car, visible and with his hands outstretched when he was run over. The judge in the case, Molloy, echoed these claims in her charge to the jury on Thursday, stating the officer's testimony did not match the physical evidence and advised the 12-person panel to watch out for possible collusion. The judge in this case was like, listen,
wow,
nothing these guys have presented is true. CCTV, every piece of evidence, including forensic evidence, basically says the police are lying. Do with this what you will. She even said, I don't see how you guys are going to even be able to convict this man. And indeed, he was let free. Zamir broke into loud sobs as the jury handed down his verdict. His wife, Ida Sheikh, cried in the shoulders of family members speaking to report. This guy was on the hook for 25 years to life for a fucking accident based on lies of three police officers. Lies that were actually co-signed by Crown attorneys, the police union, and the police chief. And Doug Ford. I am sorry for what has happened, but I never meant for any of this to happen like this, Mr. Zamir said. He's a Brampton accountant and a father of three. He apologized for the incident. He maintained that that was the case. Sunday's acquittal drew disappointment from Northrup's family and fellow officers. This is the greasy part. Like, it's all fucking greasy. An hour after the decision, TPS Chief Myron Demkew called the loss of Northrup devastating in a statement. He said he said the service had hoped the jury would reach a different outcome. Northrup's widow also spoke in front of the courthouse that afternoon, telling reporters she was, quote, very disappointed in the outcome. From day one, all I've wanted is accountability. Well, you got it, Widow Northrup. He's an innocent man, and it was proven by 12 people and all the evidence. Details revealed throughout the trial built a new understanding of Northrup's death. The day Northrup was killed, then Police Chief James Raymer called the incident a deliberate killing. a deliberate killing. That is the chief of fucking police. No due diligence saying that that man deliberately killed a police officer, which is not true. And it wasn't true then. And even if it was, he shouldn't have said it. But they convicted him anyway. The officer died after being intentionally struck, he said. Weeks later, politicians, public figures disavowed the decision to release Zamir. You remember this? Doug Ford said it was beyond comprehension, saying our justice system needs to
remember that.
Get its act together and start putting victims, hang on, then their families ahead of criminals. Let me finish this whole piece. The premier said on social media, it's still there. You can fucking still see it. Premier's office has now not responded to any requests for Sunday's acquittal. John Tory, who I used to really, really respect, said the same thing. Basically, why you let this guy out? And you know why he died? You know why Constable James Northrop died? He died because they did a terrible job of their job that day. That's why he died. Yeah. And instead of just saying, you know what, you did a terrible job of his job, police officers, police union, police chief, politicians colluded to try to put that man in jail for the rest of his fucking natural born life. And he did nothing wrong. And let me just re-fucking capture this whole statement from the widow, from politicians, and other police culture assholes, and other wealthy people who extend their privilege to no one but themselves when stuff like this happens. Let me just point this out. Every one of those people was disappointed and said they wish they had a different result. They wish the result was different. Now, a different result when an innocent man is clearly found innocent based on the evidence is when an innocent man is found guilty for doing something that he didn't do. That is what this widow has asked for. That is what these fucking moron politicians have asked for. And that is what the police union and other people who believe in police culture, pound of flesh bullshit are asking for. They are asking for some kind of emotional or fucking reputational relief that they've suffered based on the fact that these two cops, Ms. Forbes and Mr. Northrup, did not do their job properly, if I'm to read this correctly, which I believe I am. And one of them died. So their alternative and better result for them is that an innocent man goes to fucking jail. I am fucking floored by this. And I'm floored by it for two reasons. One, I know this exists. And the other thing that I'm floored by, Locke, is I am friends with a lot of really, really good police officers who don't do this. And it makes everybody else and the entire policing profession look like the fucking mob.
It's a black mark for sure.
Brutal.
For me, I think I get it from the perspective of they lost one of their own. So they were looking for something to relieve that. Right. Like,
but when that matters more to them,
and it shouldn't, injustice? It should be about the truth, but in a lot of cases, I have two things and both of them are kind of, they're both questions. Like, how often do cops in plain clothes try to arrest somebody? Like, it seems like an odd thing. Like,
well, they were plainclothes detectives, meaning that they were on the job, but they weren't wearing uniforms, didn't identify themselves.
But if you're down officers. There investigating, right, like something, then you find, and then okay, hold on, the job switches. We're going to approach this person.
Yeah,
like you would assume, like as a police officer, that you would need to be as vocal as you possibly can and as an apparent as you possibly can that you're a police officer. That's the thing that kind of throws me about this. Like,
well, aren't we talking about incompetence at that point?
Maybe. Yeah, possibly. I don't know what happened. It just seems when I'm reading these stories and hearing about it, I'm like, you'd think they would have done a better job of presenting the idea that they were police officers, right? Like,
well,
especially nowadays.
Because it keeps them safe, right? Identifying that they're cops would have solved everything.
But and they're going to arrest the man. They're going to arrest the man, Dean. I'm not saying they needed to when they were doing
that's the other part of this story, too, dude. They're going to arrest the man for what?
Yeah.
None of that was even addressed.
There's a stabbing in the area. They see a brown guy in a car. They fucking rush his car. You gonna arrest the guy for what?
Yeah. So that's profiling, right? Like, which that's a conversation. Maybe we should have that conversation. Mm-hmm. Here's the other thing that I think, you know, at the end of the day, regardless of this mistakes that are made, the fact that this actually ended the way it did, we should look at that as a positive. Yeah. I'm trying to put a bow on this, like a nice bow. This guy was clearly innocent, and the courts came to the decision that he was, and he's not going to have to spend any time in jail. I think that's a good thing. I know that this is a hard case to look at, and I know it's probably going to be talked about for years, Dean, but I think that's kind of the way I'd sign off on it. No?
You know what?
You know what I'm saying? Like, he did get off.
Well, like, not only did he get off, let me just bring this to your attention. Not only did Mr. Zamir get off of these fucking ridiculously bogus charges, which have clearly been borne out. I can call them that because legally that's what they are today, right?
Yeah.
Not only is he a free man and has he been exonerated, but Canada is coming out for this dude, like to the point where, you know, they're going to feed this guy enough money that he's going to sue everybody, every politician that called him a murderer, every news outlet that didn't give him due process, Toronto Police Services, Mr. Demq, the chief, the cops who allegedly, according to Justice Molloy, lied under oath. Mm. Let's have a look at his GoFundMe. Started 2 days ago. He's got $194,000 in it. Justice for Umar Zamir's legal battle. He's had to pay out of pocket hundreds of thousands of dollars he doesn't have to defend himself against a bogus first degree murder charge. And now the rest of, like, resentment Canada is coming out going, here's $5,000 donation, $1,000 donation.
Yeah.
There's huge. A couple $10,000, $15,000 donations in there. So if you want to go and donate, you want to feel good about yourself. And if you want to help this gentleman get some kind of restitution, which he deeply, deeply, deeply deserves, consider donating. Yeah, I think it's a good way to put a bow on that subject. Don't you?
Yeah. Like the right verdict happened, right?
Absolutely.
You know, I think that's, I mean, I understand how this thing, like the craziness of this story,
mm-hmm.
but like the judge stepped up, right? The judge made it quite clear that this guy, you know, according to what she was seeing, I don't know how many times does that happen in a court of law where,
you know,
the judge
is
like,
I think when the evidence is that weak, which there was none to suggest that any of the things the Toronto Police Service's Crown attorneys or the witnesses from that side, none of it could be corroborated because none of it existed. They had CCTV, they had forensic evidence.
Yeah.
Even TPS's own like forensic dude is like, yeah, that's what they're saying.
I don't want to diminish the conversation about what happened to this guy. But I had something happen to me when I was a kid, and I think I've even told that story on this. Like, I got dragged out of a crowd for littering at a Halloween thing, and the cops were just trying to keep control of the crowd, right? And I was the biggest guy in this group, and they hauled me out, and they gave me a ticket for littering, and it wasn't me. It was Charlie fucking Goodchild, who was the principal's son, who was a little puke, and he threw his, like, half of his big gulp drink at the cops.
I love how you're trying to compare your littering charge to first degree murder.
I said it was weak. Listen, hear me out. Hear me out. I know. Listen, I'm on.
Yeah. All I heard was you go. All I heard was you go like this. It happened to me once too. I remember when I was in the 12th grade. Oh. I got pulled out of the crowd because Charlie Goodfellow littered and I got the ticket.
Good child. His old man was a principal of the high school and he got away with stuff because of that. Now listen,
he
threw this thing into the crowd, out of the crowd. Cops came in. They're trying to break up all these teenagers.
Yeah.
Halloween. They arrest me. They give me a ticket for littering. And I went home and I told my mom, I said, I didn't litter. And she said, well, then you're on your own. If you didn't litter, go into the courthouse and you tell them that you didn't litter and you fight this ticket. So I did. So I took the day off school and I went down to the courthouse. And
I can't believe you're still telling this story, to be honest with you, but now I'm in. Okay. You go to the courthouse. Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, I know it's a rough comparison. I know. But this stuck with me. This informed me for years. Okay. So well, anyway,
now Umar Zamir knows how you feel. It's great. Continue.
So anyway, my name gets called and the judge says to me, do you have a lawyer? And I said, no, I don't have a lawyer. And he goes, why is that, young man? And I said, well, my mom told me that if you guys didn't believe me, that I would just have to pay the ticket. But I didn't litter that night. It wasn't me. And he goes, can you please sit down? So I sat down. He calls somebody over. He whispers in his ear. And then I get hauled into a back room with the court, the guy that, what's the guy that handles all the cases for the cops?
Bailiff.
Yeah. So I get that lawyer in a room outside of the courthouse and the cop that arrested me. And they come down and they sit down and they said, you are saying you didn't do this. And I said, I didn't do this. And I'm here and that's, I didn't do it. And he said, okay. And so the cop apologizes to me and I go home. Right. So I think there is a point in.
I don't think there is actually. I think it's just
there's
like
a point.
I think
there's
a point. No, there's none.
There's a point about our system and about being honest. Sometimes it does pay off. It's not sure. Always. Yeah. Like that's a good thing. That's what I'm leaving with this Umar. And then my little littering story.
Thank you. And okay, now everybody, honest, now everybody, including Umar Zamir, can sleep at night knowing that they've been through.
Sometimes it works.
They've been through the same horrific circumstances you have. Thank you.
I appreciate that.
I had some drama from that.
Well, I know you do. That was a long time ago. Like the locker room retro replay of the day for Arden Roof Systems. Golf tournament's coming up. I'm coming out there July 5th, by the way. All for Stollery Children's Child Life Program. Beautiful hospital helps kids feel normal when they're sick. Arden Roof Systems, the number one Owens Corning Platinum partner in the entire country. They're a partner of ours. Want to be a partner of yours. They're the best at roofing, siding, eaves, and you need to give Stacy a call. Go to ardentroofsystems.com for more information. What do you have for us today,
sign up
sir?
For the golf tournament. Early bird pricing still in effect. We're running out of time and it's the end of April, May 1st, next Wednesday. When the calendar rolls over, you're losing out on your opportunity to get the early bird pricing. This is actually more Lachlan trauma. We didn't have enough today on the show.
The lock retro play.
Your parents are still together, eh?
Yeah. Yep.
That's rare.
Man, well, how many years now? I should know this. We had a big anniversary for them before the pandemic. I'm a terrible son. I helped with the party.
Didn't you go back?
I went there for the weekend. I surprised them, too. I didn't even tell them. It was a surprise party.
45 or 50. It was a big one.
Yeah, it was a big one.
I'm 47, and my parents were married for almost 47 years.
See, my parents broke up. Yeah, but they... Not that I need to make excuses for my parents' failed marriage.
They got married
but
like,
they
together.
Were, it was a shotgun wedding, right? Yeah. Like, my mom got knocked up with me at 15. She spit me out. She was 2 months into her 16th year. And my dad was only like a year and a bit older than her. So I'm pretty sure my grandfather said,
let's do this.
Yeah, I'm almost positive it was a shotgun wedding. This is a thing, and I know it's a thing because I've heard people talk about it. If you're contemplating getting a divorce, but you stay together for the kids, there's now a lot of research that suggests that that's a horrible idea.
I could see that.
You got to do it like my dad did. Sit me down at 7 in front of the whole family and tell you he's leaving. Take care of the girls, son.
At least he told you. right?
Yeah.
No, I think that...
I'm sure there was no trauma on that for
me. I could see that being a thing. You know, if you try to stay together for the kids, but you're not a good relationship, you're not a good example, I think that could screw the kids up, their idea of what a relationship is.
Mm-hmm. I don't care how you do it. You're going to mess up your family. And I don't want to put any guilt on it, but either way, you're going to cause some problems that people are going to have to deal with down the road.
Yeah.
So why postpone it?
Yeah.
That's my thought. And I'm not a psychiatrist.
Especially if they're younger, it's probably better to start that process younger.
I don't know if there's a good way of doing it. And the article that I read, this psychiatrist or psychotherapist or whatever was saying, listen, you're going to screw the family up, but you might as well just deal with it now.
For some reason, I can't stop picturing you and your old man having that talk when you're 7. You got the same glasses on. Yeah, you were in hiking boots. And I feel like you didn't react. Like you were like, all right, see you later.
Hey, Dad, why do you have all your clothes in the truck? I'm just going to the beer store. I'll be back.
You want some cigarettes?
Yeah, shortly after that, I started smoking and drinking, actually. It was only a couple years.
Your dad told you he didn't. That your parents didn't stay together
and
for the kids.
Fine.
You turned out awesome.
Look at me. Things couldn't be better.
Yeah, that you know nothing like the Arden Roof Systems retro trauma replay of the day. That was there's no. Ooh, that was dark. Just made everybody feel way better about their upbringing. That was nice. Dude, now I feel terrible for shitting on you.
What? No, it's all good. I shouldn't have brought up my littering charge after talking about a guy that almost went to jail for 25 years.
No, dude, the false equivalence there was so Lachlan Cross. I loved every second of it. It was the best. It's like I saw
there was
a
moment
murdered.
There where I was like,
get murdered once, and his entrails were all over the road. And Lachlan's like, happened to me once. I cut my finger on a. On a knife when I was cutting vegetables. I know his pain.
There was a moment I was going to back out and stop, but I was pot committed, so I needed to keep going.
I'm really glad you did. You took a really serious subject.
Well, there was the moment was the look on your face when you were like, I could read it on your face where you were like, you're not bringing this up right now, are you? About 22
seconds. I hope you do it
in.
All the time now, like all the time. Yeah, there's just, you know, and that's what I love about our friendship / relationship, like the way this podcast started off, where we got in a fucking domestic over whether or not the podcast yesterday was abusing mainstream media or very educational. Now everybody's going to watch that. And now with your false equivalent stuff, everybody's like, I love the dynamic here.
I'm sorry. I'm so no, sorry. I apologize.
Content, dude. You just made this whole podcast. Thank you. I really appreciate you more than
all right,
you know.
I'm going to go. All right, pal.
That's my friend Lachlan Cross. Give him a follow on Twitter, Facebook, Locker Same Room, you, YouTube page as well. We'll talk to you soon. And do him a favor. Do us a favor. Arden Roof Systems, great product, great people. They've got a great golf tournament. Go to ardenroofsystems.com. Donate if you can. To their golf tournament July 5th. I'll be there. I think they're auctioning off a couple of foursomes for us as well. And Stacy Disatel, the owner of Arden Roof Systems, he's one of those guys, right, that everybody in the community loves. And the reason why everybody in the community loves him, if you're in the Edmonton area, is because he's super honest. He's super authentic. And if you get a chance to do business with someone like that, specifically the business of your home, that's the guy you trust. So make sure you go to Arden, try to support what they're doing for kids at Stollery Children's Hospital, Child Life Program. Try to support their golf tournament. And if you're looking for a roof, don't call anybody else. Eaves, siding, doesn't matter. Downspouts, they do downspouts. Whatever. That's your guy, Stacy Disatel, ardenroofsystems.com. Also brought to you by our friends at Muse Massage Spa. The ladies are open for business. MuseMassageSpa.com. $50 off a visit when you say, hey, I know Dean. Give me that deal. Go to the contact section at MuseMassageSpa.com. Again, contact MuseMassageSpa.com and leave a message for the ladies, Emily and Riley. You can also download their podcast at Patreon, which is great. Go and subscribe there. Totally unfiltered and a wonderful behind-the-scenes look at this industry of body rubbing and absolutely the most impressive organization you'll ever find. They're advocates, sexologists, educators for women, men in the sex work industry, and they operate the best massage parlor in the entire city of Toronto, maybe the entire country of Canada.
super safe, super therapeutic, and they want to do business with you. They want you to go and meet them. They want you to go and book a treatment, if you will. Become a muse. Just contact and say, hey, Dean told me that you got a little bit of a deal there for me. Yeah, they do. And they'll make it very discreet. MuseMassageSpa.com. Muse on the Mic is the name of their podcast. Everything is available on their website. Everything is also available wherever you get your fine podcasts, specifically Patreon, YouTube, Patreon, YouTube, Muse on the Mic, Patreon, YouTube. Go and subscribe. Lovely ladies. Lovely ladies. We're also brought to you by FactCheck.io. FactCheck is the number one fact-checking software in the world because it checks everything from origin to epistemology and the entire pathology of information from its inception, where it gets published, who actually pushed it around, how much was paid for it, and whether or not you can actually trust what you're reading. It works for pictures, videos, text, and actually works for speech, real time. Shazam of fact checking. They need beta testers as well. So go to factcheck.io, 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 and check out their beta program. Get registered to be an applicant or verified fact checker so that you can test their software. Truly fantastic, life-changing, game-changing. And I'm telling you right now, it is going to kill disinformation. She'll get in on the ground floor. You'll be happy you did. Also brought to you by our friends at Cantork, cantork.com, makers of rugged, hardworking tools. The best in the world at it. If you have a bolting solution and you can't find one for it in any heavy industry, they'll make it to spec. They fabricate, take care of, calibrate, everything to do with any torque wrench in any heavy industry, nuclear, railroad, forestry, all that stuff. Colin's a great guy. He's got a brand new website as well. My friends at Envision just finished it. You can go and check out all their products and services. So go to cantork.com today for more information. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for being here. We'll be back tomorrow. Go Leafs, go. Or Bruins. I can't decide what I want more. I legit can't decide what I want more. Do I want more Leaf fan misery as the worst fan base in the history of fan bases? Or do you want your team to win? I don't know. Series is title one. Go Canada. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.